Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
Entertainment, a global network for your top source for live streaming continuous content such as music, film, trade shows, lifestyle and wellness, and reality shows. For business inquiries, contact Mystique Entertainment. Info mystiqueentertainment@gmail.com.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
What's up, everyone? You are listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, and fitness. Now, before we start our show tonight, I want to give a couple of shout-outs. First, a very special shout-out to my older brother and best friend, veteran, entrepreneur, hero, Colonel Chris Reese. Happy birthday, bro. Hope you enjoy your special day, old man. Also, my little brother on the 18th, and my best friend, Heather, on November 16th. I love you guys. Also, a happy late Veterans Day to all my brothers, my dad, my aunt, my uncles, George, Shanti, Damon, Byron, Christy. There's a million of y'all. Like, I love y'all. Hope you all had a great Veterans Day. I appreciate everything that you do for our country. Thank you for your service. Happy late Veterans Day to everybody. And also, I want to give a shout-out to WBC Latino heavyweight champion, Mr. Johnny Rice. Thank you so much for being on my show last week. You rocked. You were awesome to interview. And I look so forward to watching your career and watching you grow and your record grow. You're amazing. And thank you so much for being on my show last week. So, what we're going to do today, we're going to go ahead and get right into that nutrition segment tonight of the Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show, and we're going to talk about the importance of eating breakfast. Now, what we're going to talk about here, you know, I know that we all hear people saying breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And honestly, it's actually accurate. So we're going to get right into that. Why is breakfast so important? Well, it's pretty simple. The first thing that you actually put into your body to start your day actually sets the stage for the rest of your day's metabolism and how your body burns calories throughout the day. So eating breakfast is actually incredibly important. But more importantly, research actually shows it's not about what you eat more than when you eat. Okay? So basically, in my third show, I spoke on intermittent fasting and how you break the fast by eating breakfast, in which you eat from night till morning while your body undergoes a bunch of processes like stabilizing your blood pressure, bad LDL cholesterol, insulin levels, resting heart rate, your old cells go into repair mode, along with many other health benefits. So if you missed that episode, please go back to eWater Radio Station and click on Miss Tammy, and you'll see that segment and go back and listen to that because it's a really, you know, informative and amazing segment. But getting back to the subject of why breakfast is so important, well, there's many health benefits that are actually associated with eating a healthy breakfast in the morning. Like, there's so many studies out there that show that kids actually focus better in school. Adults focus better at work. There's many, many studies out there that show these results. And that's why there's so many free school breakfast programs. I can actually attest to that because I taught school for 6 years. And sometimes I would even buy breakfast with my own money, especially if it was test day. That was really important. I saw better test results when my students ate breakfast. You know, because kids are growing and they need those nutrients to concentrate and focus on what's being taught. You know, also, if we don't eat breakfast, we're more prone to eating more junk food and becoming overweight, you know, if we don't eat breakfast. So basically the most important thing is what you eat. The first thing to set the tone for the day, it's about what you eat. The first thing that you put in your mouth lets your body know, okay, this is how we're going to start our day. Okay, cool. All right, I can work with this. But if you eat junk, it goes, okay, all right, this is how we're going to run today. We're going to run on some janky fuel. No, you want to put the best. Your body is your temple. So put the best in your body, right? You only get one body, one life. So do it right. So, you know, I have a bunch of friends out there. You know who you are. You're probably listening. I'm not going to call you out right now. who skip breakfast. And they get an earful from me as a nutritionist because I don't agree with that. You know, come on, you guys. You're throwing off your blood sugar levels, you know, by being too low. And your body needs these nutrients for your brain and your muscles to work at best. So breakfast is actually helping you to replenish the necessary fuel for energy to help you sustain your entire day. And also so you don't overeat later, because what happens is you don't eat breakfast, you starve, you're super, super duper hungry. And then what happens? You eat whatever is in front of you, which is a problem. So you need to eat your breakfast. Now, also, you know, a lot of people actually skip breakfast for the simple fact that they were in a rush. They were running out the door. They didn't go grocery shopping. Honestly, I've been guilty of that. I'm not going to lie. I've done the same. There's no excuse, you know. What ends up happening 9 times out of 10, my motto in life, you fail to plan to fail. Anyone that knows me, I'm a planner. I'm a big-time planner. So much that it gets on people's nerves sometimes. But, you know, I tell you what, I get things done. I make it happen. So, hey, it works for me. But getting back to you fail to plan to fail, you end up eating whatever's in front of you. Like I said, because you're starving. So, like, you go to work, you're starving, and your staff brings in donuts. They bring in pastries and junk food. And you're starving, so you just pick it up and you eat it. That's what happens a lot of times. And that's not good. Then your body says, okay, I'm going to run on junk all day. And then what happens? You're going to keep getting hungry, leading to more empty calories, and that's how weight gain happens. So I'm going to go ahead and get into some statistics to let you know what happens. It's been stated that consuming breakfast will lead to burning more calories the rest of the day. According to the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, they were unable to prove that this is correct. They conducted a study in which they had a group of breakfast, eating participants, and came to the conclusion that those eating daily breakfast were linked to higher physical activity and had more stable blood sugars by the afternoon and evening compared to those who were fasting. Also, with ScienceDirect.com, I read, consuming a breakfast that includes grains, cereals, low-fat milk, whole fruit, 100% fruit juice showed positive advantages in diet compared to those who skip breakfast. Now, also, Research shows that those who eat breakfast actually have a thinner waistline than those who do not. Ha ha. And according to the USDA and No Kid Hungry campaign, more than 11 million children live in food insecure homes, which drastically affects the breakfast count and educational test scores, etc. Also, 22 million children in the U.S. rely on the free or reduced price lunch that they receive at school and are eligible for the free breakfast program as well. But 3 million don't eat it because of the way it is being served in the schools. According to CNN Health, the Association of UK Dietitians recommends that 20 to 25% of people's daily nutritional requirements should come from their breakfast. You guys, do you realize how crazy that is? That's like one-fourth of our daily food intake relies on breakfast. That's a huge percentage, huge. Last but not least, I'm going to say another statistic, and then I'm going to get back into my recommendations. In the New York Times, I read an article that stated skipping breakfast may increase your risk for cardiovascular disease. The connection was found in a study of 6,500 adults ages 65 to 75 were actually at risk for stroke. Over an average of 17 years of follow-up, there were 2,318 deaths, including 619 from cardiovascular diseases. Wow. So, this just supports what I'm saying here. You guys, start eating breakfast. Plan it out. If you have a family, if you have kids, make a menu. Make that be a weekend goal. Sit down with your family Saturday or Sunday and prep your food. Go grocery shopping with your kids. Ask them what they want to eat. And remember, the high sugary cereals are usually at eye level of the kids, and that's a marketing strategy used by a lot of grocery stores. So make sure that you look for the ones that are on the higher level or the healthier section. You know what I'm talking about. These marketing folks are geniuses out there. So just think about it. But something is definitely better than nothing for kids. So, you know, everyone has different likes and dislikes as well as dietary needs. So there's no real cookie cutter for me to tell you what you should actually eat for breakfast without properly assessing you and asking you questions. However, you know, eating something with protein and fiber is ideal, although some say pairing carbs with protein is best. I think a little bit of both, keeping in mind that protein is sustained energy that's going to last you, give you a little bit more fuel and fat as well. The carbs are going to burn out quickly, they're going to burn off quickly, and the fiber is going to keep you feeling satisfied. Oh, and by the way, friends, coffee is not breakfast, okay? That's not considered breakfast. So here's some general suggestions of what I feel would be a healthy breakfast choice. First, whole grain cereal with milk and fruit. Remember to drink the milk because the milk is where the vitamins are when you eat good cereal. And fruit like a half a banana, or berries, or you can go to my go-to. This is what I have every morning without fail, pretty much 99.9% of the time. In my daily routine, I always have a protein shake, usually Lavelle out there. Shout out to my Lavelle friends, Deborah. I usually have a Lavelle protein shake. I love the strawberry one, but I switch it up. Right now it's pumpkin. Love pumpkin because of the holidays. With a little bit of MCT oil, for those who listened to my segment last week and read my blog, you know what I'm talking about. MCT oil is the jam. Gets my brain thinking where it needs to be. And flaxseed is good. Hemp seed is good. That's my go-to daily. Or you can have nuts or whole grain granola bars, yogurt with granola or flaxseed and berries, cottage cheese and berries, oatmeal and scrambled eggs. These are some healthy choices that I recommend. Again, it's really important to talk to your nutritionist or talk to me send me a direct message at Reese119 on Instagram. I'll help you out with some healthy breakfast choices, and you'll also see some posted on my blog. And a lot of people actually ask the question, should you eat before you go to the gym if your workout is first thing in the morning? That's a really, really good question. A lot of people ask me that question, and it's actually very controversial. You know, I say the end all is that input and output is the simple concept. You know, whatever you put in your body, you need to be able to burn off, right? So your body needs fuel to burn and food after to replenish the lost fuel and nutrients from your workout. However, if you are going to eat before your workout, like let's say you work out at like 5 a.m. I used to run at 5 in the morning. If I eat too much, then I kind of feel sluggish and I feel heavy in my workout. So eating something really light so you don't feel bloated or full while you're working out, that's what I recommend. Just something light. That's pretty much what I recommend, and I'll post a blog about some things. And please definitely let me know, direct message me if you have any questions, and check out my blog, everybody. So I'm waiting for Donald Brown to call, and I'm not sure if this is him, but let me go ahead and check and see if this is him here. Hello, is this Donald? Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
This is DC.
Oh, this is DC. How you doing? I'm waiting for Donald actually to call. Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. Can you hear me? You're live on air right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You were saying Donald, and so I was quiet. Then I said, well, shoot, maybe I need to speak up.
Oh, how are you doing tonight? This is my first time actually. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I was chowing down on a bear claw with some potato chips, so I couldn't hear the first part of your show, but I'm sure it was good stuff. I'm sure it was good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me right now?
I totally.
Don't make me reach through this phone.
Totally.
And choke you.
I thought I'd give you a coronary. No. But I was actually really interested in hearing about this boxer. Is he gonna call in or no? What's your feel on the situation?
Well, I hope he calls. Donald Brown. Just so everybody knows, he's a WBC champion, WBF champion, and he is supposed to call in tonight. He might be running a little late. Maybe he's working out. But we're waiting for his call. But hey. You're my first time actually having a caller that's not the interviewee. So, hey, why don't we – let's
all
talk.
Right.
Good
enough.
We want to talk
enough.
About.
Well, the first thing I wanted to talk about was I wanted to hear the boxer, because I was looking up – whenever you do these athletes, I look them up online. I do my research. And I got to tell you, I'm not sure if you did your research or not, but I was kind of blown away by the man's record. I mean, he has 9 fights. And – Less than stellar is what I would say. I'm not trying to crap on anybody. Facts are facts. The numbers are here. But I would assume that a guy has record that looks like this would call into a radio show on time, take his appointments and engagements seriously like a true athlete would. And I don't think it speaks too well. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you know, DC, don't mean to cut you off, but, you know.
Yeah.
He's probably busy. He's probably out there running or working out. So, you know, he's good. I mean, he's got a great record. He holds actually 3 belts. But, you know, he's the WBC Latino champion and WBF Intercontinental champion. He just won this huge belt in Germany about a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago. And so, yeah, I'm excited for his interview tonight. So hopefully he calls in.
I just had a quick question. Did I hear you say he has a great record? Is that what I heard you say? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, he sure does.
Okay.
He sure does. And I think he's actually
– Is he calling in?
I don't know if he's calling in right now. I see somebody else calling in right now too. So I'll take that call in just a minute. I don't know who that is.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and let you finish your statement. I'll bring in whoever that is.
Okay, cool.
The person hung up.
Okay. Well, okay, let me see. I'm talking, let's see, out of the 9 fights he's had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we're talking 6. We're talking 6 of the 9 fights. And actually, we could go even 7, because the 7th one would be a debut fight. This is a man that's never fought before. But out of those 7 fights, out of the 7 and 9 fights, the opponents have lost more than they've won. So you understand where I'm coming from? I mean, he's only fought 2 people who were plus, and one of them he lost to a unanimous decision, and the other one he won to a unanimous decision. So I'm blown away by a man that doesn't take it more seriously. I mean, I would just say this. If he's got these titles and he wants to be taken seriously in the boxing business, I think he needs to start taking – it doesn't matter if you're doing Jimmy Fallon or Tammy's show or anything in between or above and below. It doesn't matter. Every engagement is important. Publicity is important, especially to an athlete that's trying to get out there and get something done. And so when I'm – to me, okay, I was a former professional wrestler, but I, to me, as you know, as a former athlete doing other things I've done in the past, I'm just kind of blown away that he would blow off a show, because I'm calling it blowing off. I mean, you know what time the show starts. I could call in on time. Why can't he call in on time? And he has a team working with him. That's all I'm saying. But I digress.
All right. Well, DC, let me tell you. Just, you know, boxing 101. You know, I know you do wrestling, but I know you know boxing. Every fighter starts their career as Donald did. You know, no one's going to go in the ring. Okay, let's say you're a beginning pro. You're not going to go fight Floyd Mayweather. That's just not going to happen, okay? You have to build a record to get respect in the boxing world and fight different people before you get to that level. So you have to fight people at your level or below your level to be able to build up your record, and then you fight people that are on the same level as you. So, you know, you can't just jump the gun and be like a brand new fighter and be like, I want to fight Manny Pacquiao today. Although, you know,
no doubt. Yep.
I admire people that do that. I mean, I've done the same. I've wanted to fight at the top myself. And I get it. I get it, because people, you know, like what they like, love what they love, and want to do what they do. So, but, you know, Donald's building up his career, and he is, you know, working at his own pace. So we have to give him that respect. So what I want to talk about,
no,
you know, why I have you on.
I meant no disrespect. Yeah. Or anything else. I just want to say, I didn't mean any disrespect for what I was saying. What I was saying was, I was looking at the facts. We're talking black and white right here. And basically I'm saying, you know, take your engagement seriously, no matter what level you're on. I mean, you never know who's listening. You never know who's ready to give you that push. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know. I mean, I was looking forward to hearing from Donald, by the way. I was really looking forward to hearing from him. That's why I looked up his record, and I'm going, oh, okay. So, but go ahead. I'm sorry, Tammy. Go ahead.
Well, me too. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, though. You know, he's a champ, and maybe we're in L.A. We're in Los Angeles, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe he's at a workout, or maybe something came up that, you know, an emergency. So, you know, I like to pray for him and make sure that he's okay tonight, you know, just give him the benefit of the doubt. But I want to talk about your career, though, as a wrestler. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about you as a professional wrestler. What was that like?
Well, I actually first started my athletic career in high school. I was actually on the basketball team for a little while, and it just wasn't physical enough for me. And back in the 80s, in the late 80s, you know, professional wrestling was huge. So I made the mistake of walking into amateur wrestling thinking, you know, there'd be a ring and some ropes. And I was a dopey kid, you know what I mean? And I walk in there, I think I was 15 years old and a freshman. And I go, what is this? And I learned it, and it was cool. It was real cool. And what I really learned was, I have a kind of a quick story to tell you. During my, it was our 6th period was our amateur wrestling and football period. And the coach, because I have broad shoulders, He always, the football coach was always riding my butt every day. Hey, DC, you need to drop that amateur wrestling, get on the football team. Come on, come on, come on. He's busting my balls all the way up until about maybe the third week. And I finally stopped and I asked him, I said, I'll tell you what, coach, you make it make sense as to why I should drop wrestling, go out on the field right now and get hit by eight different guys from eight different directions. I said, you make it make sense versus me going one-on-one with the guy on the mat. And I said, I'll drop wrestling right now. I'll be on the team. And he looked at me and he said, you're too smart for your own good. You're too smart for your own good. And he walked away and never bothered me again about football. Isn't that something? I mean, I think I it's a true story, you know. But I have mad respect for football, but I think that we've all learned that the concussions and the injuries that go along with it. And this is a guy talking who's broken his tailbone being a professional wrestler. You know, you get shaken up and it changes your life. And I'm really glad that I never went down that path. I mean, although I would have been paid in the sun, that's great. But, you know, sometimes you have to kind of make the right turn. I feel like I made the right turn for me and kind of went into being a professional wrestler. I ran into this guy and it was a summer and I was in a tank top. And this white dude with long hair comes up to me in Circuit City and he goes, first words out of his mouth, dude, you're jacked. And I turn around and look down like, yo, I don't swing that way. And he goes, no, I'm not trying to hit on you. And I said, well, what's up? He goes, have you ever thought about being a professional wrestler? And I said, I'm a fan of it. I've watched it. I said, never thought about doing it, but I can guarantee I can do it. So anyway, speed it up. And there's a guy right now, or two guys, but John Cena. I was doing a couple of shows with him backstage, and I'll tell you a quick story about him in a minute. But Samoa Joe is another guy who wrestled in WWE, and he's the guy that trained me. And Joe was a real good guy. I loved his personality. He's just he's half Latino. A lot of guys don't know this. He's half Latino, half Samoan, but he runs with the Samoan, you know, thing because it just pays better to be a Samoan rather than a regular Latino, I guess, in his world. But we all had to come up with our gimmicks, and my stage name was Death Certificate. And the reason they wanted me to come up with a name, and I told them, I said, all right, well, I mean, I was going to be a bad guy, you know what I mean? I liked the bad guys better growing up, you know, and I said, I'm going to go with Death Certificate. And what happened was I was a huge fan of Ice Cube, and at the time I thought that was the best album he ever did up until that point. And I said, oh, okay, I like that, Death Certificate. And then my name slowly just – no one was calling me, hey, Death Certificate, come on over here. You know, it was, hey, DC, come here. And DC stuck. I mean, it stuck with me for over 20 years now, and for about 20 years, I should say. And it was a really nice ride. I actually we went around and did shows, and if I was to explain the way it worked was I was on a lower level. So – like, let's say the minor leagues compared to what the the major leagues are. I was WWE. Minor league versus the WWE. Exactly. So, and there were scouts that were always coming out to see us. Well, John Cena, his name back then was Prototype. And we were dressing in the locker room one day. And I met him, I think, once before. But it's the first time I'm, like, literally, you know, 3 feet away from him. And we're lacing up our boots And I look up at the – and mind you, I'm 6'3", and at the time, probably a solid 270s, 275, 19.5-inch biceps. So I look over at him, and I'm like, what the hell? I mean, the dude is just – and by the way, any athlete knows, you could tell a person who does steroids versus a person who doesn't do steroids. Steroids, there's two massive tells. One, you kind of have a purplish tinge to your skin, and then two, you get these large acne bumps. Most of the time it's on your back. It can be on your arms and down, you know, everything else, but most of the time you see him on the back. And John was just pure, clean eating. I could tell when I saw him. And so, you know, I don't make it a habit of asking dudes anything, you know, who have dressed in the locker room together, you know what I mean? But I had to ask him. I got a personal question pop in my mind. I said, I got to ask. I look up, I go, dude, what do you eat? And I said, how often do you eat? Like, how much beef do you eat in a day? You know what I mean? Like, because I'm pretty solid. And this man's like, you know, so he looks up at me and he goes, 7 pounds of beef a day. I said, 7 pounds?
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly, right? And my
a baby cow.
Exactly. My next question, I swear to God, without skipping a beat, was, and I'm going to clean it up for the air, but I said, how often do you defecate? Right? I mean, but you can imagine the words I use. And he looks up at me. He's looking down. He looks up with his eyes. He goes, not often, brother. Not often. I fell out laughing. I was like, John was cool. And he ended up helping me. I gave him a phone call later, and this was back before I knew how to get a passport. And one of the promoters was saying, hey, you need to get a passport because we're going to be putting you on shows overseas. And I said, okay. So he said, call John up. John will help you. But John, you know, gave me help a little there with how, where to go and all that. But, you know, we did shows at the military bases, and it was really something. My dad was retired Navy, and my uncle was retired Army. And I decided not to go in. At the time, we were talking about Desert Storm. And, you know, you were talking about drafts and all this. And, yeah, it was around that time. And a friend of mine, I don't know if I've ever told this story. Maybe I shouldn't tell this. No, no. I won't tell this.
No, tell it. You're already in. Don't leave everybody in suspense. You can't just say, oh my gosh, I got to tell you something. I can't tell you. Come on, you can't do that.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Okay. So I'm going to clean it up. But, you got to remember, this is during the time of don't ask, don't tell in the military and all that, right? So,
yeah.
I had a friend of mine. He's like a brother. And they were talking about, we heard rumors of a draft. And I said, man, I'm not going over there to, you know, catch diseases and all this and blah, blah, blah. I'm not being on the front line. I like having two legs and two arms. I'm sorry. Call me a punk, but I like to get up and, you know, walk around and be able to grab stuff with my hands. And although I give all the respect in the world to the guys that go over there and do that, that's just not in the game plan for BC. I want to do other things. And that, you have to remember, this is the mind of two 18-year-old guys sitting around. And so we were figuring out how to dodge, you know, get out of the draft, right, if there was a draft. And we were sitting around joking. And he said, well, we could do this. And I said, well, you know, hold on, sorry. And, he's, you know, we were throwing ideas around, and I said, man, you know what? If we tell them we're homosexual, they won't take us. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we were just like, oh, there's an out. And then he said, well, what if they ask us to kiss? And I was like, whoa. I said, I'm not kissing you. and so he said, well, I said, damn, man. I said, you know what? Here's another one. I said, here's a good one. I said, what I'm gonna do is when they call you in for the physical, all you gotta do, and you remember you asked me to say this. I said, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna melt a Snicker bar and put it, you know,
in
my poop chute. wait.
Oh,
and I'm cleaning it up. So remember, I'm 18, all right? I'm taking this is okay. So I said, I'm gonna put it in my poop chute, and when I'm in there for the physical, you know, and they're telling me to do this, do that, I'm just going to stop at some point. Like, if it's like, dude, give me 10 push-ups, I'm going to stop at 5, get on my knees, you know, take a swipe, eat some, and then go back down to finish my 5. And don't even act like you do anything that's out of the norm. And I said, dude, you do that? And I guarantee you. me and my friend, we fell out laughing, and we locked in on that, you know what I mean, because we just couldn't bring ourselves to lay lips on each other, you know what I mean. I loved him, but he was like my brother, you
oh
know?
My god.
And so we decided to go with the insanity plea. But that's the one you made me say. Okay, you made me say that.
Yeah, yeah, maybe I should have, like, left that one out.
Well, you know what?
You got creative.
I'm hoping that all your people that are listening right now, they know that an 18-year-old is a knucklehead young man who's, you know, two guys just sitting around trying to figure out, you know, how to dodge this ridiculous war we were in. I mean, you know, no one thought the Desert Storm was even necessary, you know. And it was something. But anyway.
That is crazy. So I got to ask you, in terms of wrestling, was this kind of like that? You said it was kind of like a minor league of the WWE. So was it kind of fake moves? Like, what I mean by that, like stunts, like you might be throwing
totally
a punch,
understand.
But you're not really hitting the person. Yeah. No disrespect.
No, and I don't take any disrespect. The word you get asked all the time as a wrestler, a professional wrestler, you get asked, is wrestling fake? And I say, it's not fake, it's choreographed. And there's a difference because I've had people challenge me, go, well, no, it's fake, this and that. And I go, okay, well, let me body slam you and tell me how your back feels afterwards. You know what I mean? In other words, people don't really get yes. Now, I'll give you an example. I had a hardcore match with a friend of mine. And, I mean, real good buddy of mine. Like, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
And his name was Food Dog. And it was a hardcore match where basically we bring weapons into the ring, do whatever. You know, we choreograph it out, what we're going to do. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. You get your heat. I'll get mine. And then, you know, this will be the finish. But everything in between, you know, you're not really punching the guy in the face. You know, I mean, obviously you'd be knocking teeth out.
Yeah.
Now, it does happen. It does happen on accident. But and you always wonder, is it an accident when two guys really don't like each other after work with people? You know what I mean? Like your best match is with somebody you either really like personally or you really you admire his work in the ring and you know that he's a professional. And the worst match is a guy that you genuinely don't like and you go, I don't want to put my life in this man's hands. You know, personal on the personal aspect. So, and
right.
You know, no two people are always going to get along, but, so me and my friend Food Dog, we're in this hardcore match, and I take him, there's two wooden tables with a lot of food, and so I went to slide him across the first table, and the first table, because he's over 200, I mean, he's a big boy, first table collapses, and he falls out of my hands, and he just slides down the table and busts his face into the second table. Now, what I was going to do was slide him across both tables and just throw him off. Exactly, right? Exactly. So now I go and I look and go, oh, shit. Like, I'm sorry. Excuse my language. But I went, oh, you know, crap. You know, my buddy just fell. And so I roll him over and I get down on one knee and I say to him real quietly, I say, are you all right? And he goes, yeah, finish. And I said, okay. And I just start pounding and punching him while he's down. And it was so, I'll tell you something. Wrestling was so much fun. It was so, you know, I would assume, and again, I played basketball. I've worked out with weights, an amateur wrestler. You know, I've even played football, even though, you know, I have certain feelings about football. But, I mean, it's good for the soul. It makes you feel good. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you had mentioned earlier in our unscripted interview that I guess this turned into an interview, but hey, you know what, we're rolling with it and I'm digging it. It's pretty fun. It's just natural. You mentioned earlier, I remember you talking about, you know, football and the injuries and such, and football is one of my favorite sports next to boxing. And you know, I gotta say though, there's a lot of injuries in wrestling, because I remember a friend by the name of Rick Drayson. He was looking for wrestlers, female wrestlers, to be on this reality show. So I was like, okay, well, I box, so maybe, you know, I could do the wrestling thing too. So I went to his house where he held trials, because he has a huge wrestling ring. It's just like a boxing ring. Well, similar, but, you know, it has like those boards or whatever, so it kind of gives when you fall down and do these little stunts and stuff.
There's
but
a big giant
tell you,
spring in the middle, in the center of the ring, just so you know.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like, cause when
people,
you jump on it, it's
people,
like, boom.
Yeah, most people don't know, but in the center, the way a wrestling ring is built, you have steel beams on the bottom, and then you have plywood on top of that. Then you put a cushion on top of that, and then you wrap it with the ring material. Well, in the center, it attaches to everything. There's one big giant spring in the middle. So that's where you get the hop and the bounce and the slam. You know, when somebody takes you and slams you, boom, you know, like
WWE, when you hear the sound effects, that
yes,
boom, yeah,
exactly. That's where it comes from. And just remind me about the 470-pound guy. I'll tell you. Well, I want you to finish your story, please.
Well, I just wanted to mention that Rick Drayson, you know, he had a ton of injuries, and he told me, and it was like he had a diagram, and it was literally like he had like 50 injuries or something like that. And I mean, I heard that that's really typical. Like a lot of wrestlers have multiple injuries, which to me, because you're saying that football, you know, has a lot of injuries, but so does wrestling, because if you land wrong, you could be paralyzed. If you do a stunt and maybe you're tired that day, or maybe you didn't eat the right food, you didn't eat your breakfast, or you didn't take your MCT oil. No, sorry.
If you had a bear claw with some potato chips. Go ahead.
One of the above, you were off. Then all it takes is that one off move. I know. The other day I was jump roping, and I was trying to show off in front of my daughter doing these little tricks, and I landed on my ankle and like twisted my ankle. I go, are you kidding me? I just like twisted my ankle on a jump roping. I'm like, that's ridiculous. So any slightest move, you can, you know, slam somebody over your shoulder, and you can you know, hurt somebody. So I think it could be just as dangerous. That's my opinion.
Yeah, there's an aspect that I didn't mention earlier, and I was told that I could go to the WWE, that I just needed to put on 25 pounds or more muscle. And I'm already a, like I said, 19.5-inch biceps. I mean, that's pretty big. And when he told me that, basically he was alluding to the fact of doing a juice, some steroids. And for me, it just wasn't for me. And what I'll tell you is this. When you talk about injuries in professional wrestling, you have to remember this. Wrestlers are on the road probably 300 days out of the year. I mean, they're lucky if they get 2 months at home. And it's not you work 10 months and you get the 2 months off. It's not like that. I mean, you get maybe, you know, 6 days on the road, and maybe if you're lucky, 2 days at home, and you're back out on the road. And remember, most of the time, each one of these wrestlers is wrestling every night. And so there's wear and tear on the body that's physical wear and tear, being slammed around. And I mean, just a basic match, not talking hardcore rules or weapons or anything like that. We're just talking basic wrestling. It takes a toll on you. So then what happens? People go in to taking painkillers and or anti-inflammatories because they have something swollen. And some guys, to recoup early because they don't want to stay out of the roster too long, they shoot the steroids and try to repair the muscles faster that way. And so when you do steroids, I don't have to tell you, you know, you can rip your muscles off your body so easily. There's a guy, his name was Triple H. He's real famous. He's married to Vince McMahon's
daughter, right?
Yeah, Triple H. You know, this man has ripped his whole quadricep off his thigh because he was juicing all the time. I mean, have you ever heard of someone? And by the way, I saw it happen in a match. All he did was take one step forward, and his leg totally collapsed from underneath him, and you could see his muscle just shift. Now, mind you, can you imagine how much damage you have to be doing with steroids to your body to take a step? That could have happened when he got out of bed to go to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning. It didn't have to happen, and he wasn't doing anything athletic other than walking to his opponent. So, it basically tears your body down, and that's why, you know, I didn't want to have a busted up liver or abused kidney by the time I was, you know, that's why Macho Man died. They said he had a heart attack while he was driving him. I think it was Miami or Orlando or wherever. It was in Florida somewhere, and he hit a tree. But they said, you know, and Macho Man, I'm sure you know, this man was like 45, 50 years old and still jacked. I mean, he looked bigger post-wrestling than he was when he was actually wrestling. You know what I mean? So a lot of these guys, it's a wear and tear. And there's so many different aspects. And I don't even compare football to professional wrestling, because the wear and tear on the body, you go hard in practice. You're not trying to injure your own team, you know. It's the only one day of the week, and that's for what, 13 weeks or something, where you know, you're trying to, you know, tear the other team apart. And not to have no respect for it, because again, I played football. I know how hard it is to hit a dude. You know what I'm saying? And how hard it is to be hit by somebody. So I get that. But, you know, professional wrestling, I'll give you an example. This is what I was going to tell you about the 400-pound dude. We were going over our moves before a show. And I was in the corner, and this one guy comes up, and he starts interrupting us from what we're doing. And he's a friend of mine, by the way. It wasn't a rude thing. He came up, and he's, you know. So I turned around, and I went to pick him up. And he's 475 pounds. And I go to pick him up, and I get his feet, like, maybe an inch off the ground. And now, mind you, people are putting the ring together. They're setting up the chairs. Everybody's talking and everything. As soon as I did this and I got the guy's feet off, you could hear a pin drop in the arena. Everybody stopped and looked over. And I went, damn. That's when your ego kicks in as a man. You know what I mean? And when I picked him up and got him up an inch off the ground, I said, oh, hell no. I'm putting this big dude down. You know what I mean? So I put him back down. I heard crickets. I was like, what the hell? Everybody's watching me. So I went to pick him up again. I just picked him up and I slammed him. And this is what I was going to say. I slammed this big boy in the middle of the ring. Everybody that was in the ring flew up at least a foot in the air because of that big giant spring. You know what I mean? That I was speaking about earlier. And it's great for sound. It's great for sound effects, but it's also great for if a guy is laying in the middle of the ring. It's kind of like what a shock does for a car. You know what I mean? You hit a bump, it doesn't do damage to your car because the shock is there to absorb it. You know what I mean? And that's the theory when a guy's jumping off the top of the rope into a guy in the middle of the ring. So I know I'm a little long-winded, but you get me talking about my wrestling, and I can go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's interesting. No, I appreciate it. I mean, it's good. I like the story.
I got a lot of respect for any athlete that does anything physical, even runners. I'm talking just relay runners, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to wear and tear, I have never done a sport in my life that tears you down as much as professional wrestling does. And I'm talking just even if you're just living a clean life, I'm talking clean eating, gym work, no steroids, no. There's a guy named, his name is CM Punk, and he was known for Straight Edge.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, Straight Edge. Yep. And he actually went in to be an MMA fighter after wrestling. I don't think he did too well, but that's not the point. Yeah. He I think he lost his first fight, if I remember correctly. I hate to say that type of stuff.
I didn't know that.
And then, you know, when I'm like, the internet's right in front of me and I could punch it up, but I want to continue to work. Yeah, but he did go in, just like Dave Bautista, the guy who plays the green dude on the Guardians of the Galaxy. He was a wrestler, and he went into MMA also. There's been a handful of professional wrestlers. I can think of three. You got Dave Bautista, CM Punk, and Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley is a big giant. He looks like a dude who's on steroids, but he's not. He's a little bit bigger than John Cena. He's taller though also. But you know, again, it's a professional wrestling is so hard on the body, and that's why I consider it to be an art. Yes, it's a ballet. It's a physical ballet. But, you know, everything that happens, if you're being slammed through a table, if you're being slammed on the canvas, if somebody's dropping an elbow on you, no, they're not dropping the point of the elbow on you in your chest plate. What they're doing is they're dropping the bottom of the tricep. They're dropping the tricep on you on top of your chest and, you know, on a flat position. The Rock did that a lot. He was real good with he was called the people's elbow. His elbow, you just watch him do it, and he puts so much stank on it before he lands that you just automatically, the guy on the ground feels 1 pound of pressure, but he's flopping around like he dropped a truck on his chest. You know what I mean? And that was part of The Rock was one of the greatest showmen. I can't think of anybody that was better, other than maybe Hulk Hogan.
Oh, I agree.
I'll say this and I'll be done. I was, as a kid, I loved the bad guys, and I couldn't stand the good guys. And I went to the sports arena in Los Angeles, and I was probably, I think, 12, 13. And the bad guy's coming out, and everybody's booing him, and I'm going, yeah, I'm a kid, you know. And then Hulk Hogan comes out, and I'm thinking, I'm going to boo the hell out of him. And I couldn't wait. As soon as that music hit, I went to open up my mouth, and all I heard was static. Now, mind you, I've been at concerts. I've been to events. I've never in my life heard the sound, pure noise from the crowd. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where cheering or whatever sounds so to the point, it sounds like it turns into static is what you hear. And I stood there. I couldn't believe it. I was a kid. My boos were just drowned out. I stopped booing. And I couldn't believe it. It's so loud when cheering turns to static. I'm like, how does that happen? And I'm telling you, he's one of the superstars, him and, you know. But anyway, Jesus.
Well, I want to thank you, honestly, for calling in tonight. You know, this is like an impromptu interview. I seriously did not plan for this. It's unscripted.
Yeah.
But I totally appreciate you and your amazing stories. And it's awesome to have a wrestler. In fact, I want you to send me a picture, text me a picture of you wrestling so that I can post it on my Instagram, you know, or post it on social media so
that
people know who you are. And, you know, let me ask you, Thanksgiving is coming up next week. So I want to ask you, what is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
I'm not really a big turkey guy. And this is going to sound so weird coming from me, but I used to make this, my daughter's grown now, but that's why I say used to. I used to make this walnut pie, you know, it's a pecan pie, but with walnuts. And it got to the point where her mother and I and my daughter, we all had to have three pies made. I used to make two, and then her mother would never get any. My daughter was thin as, you know, she's like a little pole, but she could kill a third of a pie easy. You know what I mean? But, you know, issue was once a year you indulge like this, no problem. It wasn't like we were eating like that every month. You know, in fact, I even told my daughter, I said, I'll make pies in November and December, but the other 10 months, no pies. Because I swear, we would all be 500 pounds if I made this pie once a month. You know what I mean? But I just have to say the walnut pie. It was a stellar staple at our meals. Yeah. And one other thing I want to tell you, I'll send you a picture, but I want to tell you this. I had a big giant beard at the time, and my girl at the time, she would braid my beard and then put beads over it. So, you know, I'm going to send you some pictures, and you're going to look at them like, whoa, you know, you're going to wonder what is that going on? It's like, you know, I don't know if you ever saw the Booyah Tribe. They were a rap group, Samoans.
Yeah.
Did you ever see them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
My beard looked just like theirs. You know, a lot of people don't know who the Booyah
Tribe
is
exactly
unless you're from the West Coast. Yeah, but if you're from the West, you probably
know.
Who
that is.
But anyway,
it
was my pleasure, Jamie. It was seriously, seriously my pleasure. I didn't expect this to run as long as we did, but I appreciate you giving
me
the time.
No, me neither, well, you know, just speaking of Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for you tonight for saving my interview segment. And without further ado, I have to let you go because I do have a call. I'm not sure if it's Donald. I do have a call right now. But I thank you so much, DC, for joining us, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Cool. I'm going to continue to listen. Bye-bye.
Caller number two, is this Donald?
No, this isn't Donald, but this is Rodney. Hey, Tammy, how are you doing? This is Donald. This is Rodney's promoter. I work with his team. I had to call in and apologize for Donald. Donald ran into some untimely stuff that he had to deal with, you know, after training today, because he's right back into camp already after this fight from Germany. And I had to call in and touch base. So I have zero problem filling in for the champ.
Oh, great. Well, I appreciate that because I was worried about him. Given him the benefit of the doubt because I know that he's busy training. And I saw on his Instagram, he actually posted that he was running like literally maybe 2 days after he got back from Germany. So I was really impressed with that. So, you know, hopefully everything's okay with him.
You're into the music and the song says, and it don't stop, right? So it doesn't stop. You know what
and
I mean?
It don't quit.
So exactly. So, hey, mad respect even to the guy who just called in, you know, and I listened to him and I made sure I paid very close attention, because it's very easy to form an opinion, especially when you just do a Google search about something and when you don't know the real detail about something, right? Like he said, a stellar record. Duh, duh, duh. So I'm like, you know, and mad respect to my man who just called on the phone, because as he said, he was talking about, I don't know much about choreographed wrestling, you know what I mean, other than I wrestled and fought with people who are bona fide wrestlers. Rampage, Randy Couture, you know, Boz Rutten. These are people that are really wrestlers slash fighters, not people who did choreographed stunts. But I also have mad respect for a friend of mine named Mata. He went into the WWF, WWE spectrum of, we call it ballerina sport, with buff dudes wrestling, right? But, you know, he was able to provide for his family. So I'm not, again, I'm not hating on a guy, but professional wrestling versus professional unscripted sports are two separate things. And, like, when you mentioned about the records and the ratios of records, I'm like, wow, wait a minute, my man. Every fight that you had, I think, was scripted. You just said it yourself. So, but you call yourself professional, so that's professional acting. Every fight that Donald's had has not been, not one of them has been choreographed or scripted. But, again, it's two different sports, and it's two different ways about going about being an athlete. And Devin Haney is a perfect example. Solidified world champion. More than half of his fights began in TJ. Every athlete that you look at, Mike Tyson for that matter, one of the best, they start their careers off building. You don't go in there, as you mentioned in your interview with him, when you're in your talk with him, was you don't go in fighting Mike Tyson. You don't go in fighting Floyd Mayweather. You know, you have to build up to a certain level. And that's a completely different dude. And, you know, again, you know, I think he made some very solid points. One thing I know that Donald would not have just blew the interview off if he wasn't, you know, a little twisted up after running. I know that for a fact, right? But I listen to people talk, and it's like, wow, this comes from a guy who wanted to put a Snickers in his butt instead of serving his country. And then he bashes another athlete. That's not how you do things. But then again, he did it respectfully, and that's why I'm giving him the same respect, too. Because you know what? A person who is a professional choreograph wrestler, because I listen to him talk about how some of the guys have made the transition. And the guys that I mentioned that I've worked out and trained with, those are some of the best wrestlers in the world. Randy Couture is an Olympic wrestler. He went into MMA. I also know Cain Velasquez. He was one of the top collegiate athletes in Arizona, made to the top status in MMA as well. So sport is sport. Respect is respect. So before I bash another man or before another man bashes another man, they need to think about the path and the journey. And we all have different paths and we all have different journeys. But that being said, big ups to my man for making it. But, hey, man, I would have played football, too, if it was me. But anyway, he has his reason for not playing football going into professional wrestling.
Well,
so I'm not only just defending the people that I work with because I know the strife and I know what it's like. I've done both sides.
Right.
From the MMA to the boxing. But I've never done stunted wrestling. You know, but, jeez.
Well,
I've seen my guy had to go through it. He's busted up sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Rodney, we're running out of time, so I'm going to have to let you go, but I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in tonight, and we'll talk soon. I really appreciate you calling in tonight and giving the report on Donald, and we'll pray for him, hopefully, that he recovers well, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you, and
all right, y'all, the biggest takeaway I want you to take away from this nutrition segment is that you need to plan out your breakfast weekly and eat it. If you have children, make sure that your children eat their breakfast. It's so, so important. Also, you guys, check out my blog that's going to be released on Monday if you want to get more details about this nutrition topic. add me at IG at Reese119, and you can DM me. I can send you advice personally. And have a blessed evening, everyone. An amazing Thanksgiving. I want to thank DC. I want to thank Rodney tonight, and wishing the best, all the best to Donald Brown. Thank you guys, and good night.